And the only person I know that's actually hit it from the first tee on Washington Road.
The Human Services Committee meeting of 6/11/2013 will come to order. The time is 5:33. Ms. Davis, will you please call the roll?
Sure.
David Hallman?
Present.
Aaron Decker?
Here.
Corey Frederick?
Here.
Angie Montemurro? She's excused.
Mm-hmm.
Gabe Newell?
Here.
Anita Johnson?
Here.
David Arrington? Did you hear from him?
He called like 2 days ago, but he did not say as to whether or not he would or would not be here. And I forgot to ask.
And the two youth and governance do not need to attend this meeting, so. Special meetings, they don't need to attend.
Citizen comments? I see no people other than us. Motion to, we are approving minutes? I don't have my thing.
No.
Okay.
It's the resolution.
So. Yeah, thank you.
Where is it?
There we go. Agenda item 3, resolution to approve the county executive appointment of Dr. Gregory Woodward to the workforce development board.
Thank you. I'll begin. Dr. Woodward, as everyone knows, is the president of Carthage College. He is here this evening. He would be taking the place of Dr. Campbell, who for several years sat on our workforce development board. As I mentioned at the last meeting, we have representation from all of our higher levels of learning, Parkside, Gateway, and Carthage, hopefully we have it this evening. Plus we have the superintendent of Coach Unified and also the superintendent of West Scotia, Dr. Pierce, on the board. So we would hope this committee would follow through and appoint Dr. Woodward, as we view him as an important asset to the work that we do on that board. He is here this evening if you have questions.
I do.
I don't know how. I can give you a very short version if you'd like, or we can hear it till dark, but don't stretch.
Abbreviating is good.
I've been here a year. You know what I do here. I was previously at College of New York Victory College. I spent about 30 years. I was the dean of the school. I was the provost, vice president of college. I was in graduate professional studies. Before that, I was a professor of music composition for about 25 years, dean of chair of graduate studies, director of admissions. I've taught at Yale, Harvard, Cornell, Valparaiso, Ithaca, and Mount Carthage. I haven't taught there, but I'm a full-time professor of music if I wanted to. And I have an undergraduate degree in music from Connecticut, a master's in Connecticut College, and a doctorate from Cornell University. I was born on the West Coast, lived in Los Angeles for about 10 years, moved to the East Coast, lived in Connecticut for about 10 years, and then spent 30 years in New York and 11 months in Connecticut. I have a beautiful family. My wife, Penny, lives with me, of course, on the campus. I have 3 children, 20, 22, and 24. Charlie will be a junior at Ithaca College, a business major, and Vivian just graduated in May. She's a writer. My eldest, Julia, is a teacher in Roxbury, Massachusetts, which is a section of Boston that is a very tough, difficult neighborhood, and she's one of those change the world types, and it's a beautiful species of fantastic inner city charter school. I'm trying to think. I'm a member of a few other boards. I'm on the Boy Scouts, the Three Harbors Council Boy Scouts, and I am on KDOC Strategic Planning Committee. I'm on another board with CAVA, and I forget the other one. I have it down there. I was the honorary chairman of the United Way of National Party this year. So. There's a few other things, but that's probably all you want. I put a assessment on the panel.
At the same time?
Sure.
Okay.
Supervisor Johnson? Was there anything else?
No.
Supervisor Johnson?
I'll just say I was perfectly comfortable approving you without your presence. I didn't have any questions. But since you are here, meetings are in the morning. You'll be able to attend the meetings?
Well, I'll attend as many as I can. The more morning I have when the meetings happen, of course, the better, because my schedule is crazy. And I do like President Campbell, spend a lot of time on the road, going to various events and meeting with friends at the college. So I'm you know, mornings are a good time, as long as I know. Are they always the same day?
They are for 7.
Yeah, we set those meetings out a year in advance. They start at 7:30 in the morning down at the job center, mm-hmm. And they're quarterly. So Sharon certainly can bounce those dates a year and hour.
So there's 4 meetings?
Yes.
A year, that's it? Are they on Wednesdays?
Thursdays
is great. Wednesdays was the one day that would have been really hard.
It's like an officer.
Well, I'd like to say that, but instead it's actually our college is one of the top 50 people. The college meet every Wednesday for about, well, from 8:30 to 10:00. So I probably shouldn't miss that. But yeah, that would be no problem. You serve breakfast, of course, right?
It's too early for me. I left it here. Just kidding.
You're out of your responsibility.
What do you hope to get or bring to the board, for Carthage or for the county?
That was kind of easy because, I can sum it up in one statement, I suppose, and that is, the healthier that Kenosha is, and especially the downtown area, the better it is for our college. And I would think that the reverse is true as well, that, Carthage brings an awful lot to Kenosha, both in supposed reputation and resources and its graduates, and we have probably put $500 million to $600 million in the local economy over the last number of decades. And so I'm interested in advancing, the success of Kenosha. I'm thinking about working pretty hard at trying to come up with some ways to engage the college down here someplace in some formal way. I'd love to see our students, all 2,500 of them, act as a resource of service and volunteers for the town and the city. And I've actually been touring, if you don't know this or not, but I've toured a bunch of facilities downtown to see whether or not we should purchase them or rent them or pull one of our programs down here. And I won't give away too many secrets, but we have one new program we're thinking about that would be very beneficial for the area, and especially for itself, and I think that would be housed someplace downtown. And it would just be another great partnership, I think, between us and the city. There, I'm sure there are other things I don't know anything about where we could be helpful and be partners, but I just don't know enough about that yet. I see our students as being there. It's a really great thing to see, because I haven't really felt that in college in the last 20, 30 years as strong as I do right now. And so we really do have a unbelievably powerful workforce of students that are ready to bring new skills and expertise to all kinds of ventures. And we all need help in what we do. You're trying to grow and build, I would imagine. I think we can help. And our students will gain from that, because the experiences that they will receive will be life kind of lessons in doing all different. So it's a total win-win for what it is.
You can't have everything.
All three of us, because I guess I'm including this board as well as the city and downtown and the college.
Anyone
have
anything else? I have a few. I'm a little curious if you know where one can get a decent copy of the Berlioz orchestration essays. That was a serious question. This has been a problem for many years.
I can actually probably get you a copy if you really want.
That would be awesome. Also,
are you serious?
Yes. There's some things I joke about that people find funny, and I don't know why. There's some things I'm just dead serious.
It's very easy.
Yeah.
Animal Minor has the 6th largest music library in the world, and they will have it.
Are you familiar with Nathan Shinagawa by any chance?
As a matter of fact.
Yeah, he's a good friend of mine.
Really?
The officials network.
Wow, so cool.
Yeah.
Now, his dad was on faculty, staff at the college where I was for a long time, and then left that position. I'm not sure exactly what happened. Maybe he was director of education. ACE, something about ACE, American Center for Education, something. And then his very young son ran for town council or city alderman.
He was a county supervisor, and then he ran for Congress recently. have a call for him.
Did he not get it?
He didn't, yeah.
Well, he's become a very, you know, important sort of spokesman in the town and represents young people. It's
yeah, I hear from him and Dominic Brangelo all the time. But
that's cool.
Yeah, it's really cool. I wanted to ask, because this has come up in some conversations held in other areas, about the feasibility of people in the arts actually obtaining jobs. We have some that like to think that's not... Let's say, the focus of the state has come to marketable careers, which leaves a lot of folks out to pastures with certain majors, and I don't necessarily think that's proper.
Yeah, I don't think it leaves anybody out, to be honest. And I can tell you that when I was dean of the music school, we were probably the, fifth or sixth largest public music school, undergraduate school in the United States. And we had absolutely 100% job placement. You know, there's no other industry besides the entertainment industry, the arts, if you include that in entertainment, besides the military, that where more money exchanges hands, there's more people working in it. It's the second biggest enterprise that humans are engaged in. And we had 100% placement of music teachers. You know, you can't go to music school and graduate and say, I'm going to be a violinist for the Chicago City. No, chances that are very slim. You got to wait for an opening. You got to be one of the top violinists in the world to get that. We were lucky enough to have a couple of people that were like, I know a young lady that made second flute at the Boston Symphony when I was there. And I think about it, there's five or six major orchestras in America. They only have three flutes. So that means you're one of the top 15 flautists. And I said to her, she came upon my class, a freshman, about careers in music. And someone said, well, how much do you practice? And I had no idea what they think she was going to say. And a couple hours a day. And she looked at her watch. And she said, I think it's been 6 years. I missed one day so far, 6 hours a day. That's just what it is. You go to work, 6 hours a day, sit at your desk. She plays the flute 6 hours a day. But you know, when you consider the larger breadth of arts, entertainment, oh my gosh, shows, you know, cruises, orchestras, teachers, concert halls, personnel managers. We had Madonna's first agent and Isaac Stern's agent, and there's people that manage houses and people that manage grants organizations. There's people that run, you know, jingle houses and run orchestras. It's huge. It's just, so if you really want a job in the arts, absolutely you can find one. What people don't realize is that they see all this failure, what they assume to be failure, because again, that kid went to college with this dream of being first trumpet in Chicago. That's only going to happen to two people in their lifetimes, right? In our lifetimes, it's held it for 50 years, you know? And so that's just an unreasonable thought. At a place like Ithaca, that was primarily an undergraduate, and a place like Hartford with 150 music majors, that's not really probably going to happen. So we educate you as fully broadly educated people. The large context. So you have other things to offer. And if you want a job, you'll go up and log a job. Even in Carthage, you know, over 90% of our graduates within 6 months are either employed in their field or going to graduate school. Over 90%. So it works. I will tell you one really scary fact, just because you know you're curious. If you go to a really thinly specified, streamlined music conservatory such as Juilliard, those people are myopic about what they want to be. And they really do want to be the next Isaac Stern or Lon Lon. 75% of graduates from Juilliard are out of the field of music within 4 years of graduation.
Why?
Because they don't get to be the Lon Lon. And so then they give up. They don't have any other skills. They're practice from punch drunk. They sit in the basement all day and practice. They have nothing else to offer. I mean, they're just like, I didn't make it. Get a job at an insurance company. I'll work at a bank. Go back to where I'm from, which a lot of them are from other places. But not them, not educators or people that take a broader view of arts in the biggest way. There's lots and lots of jobs. That was completely unrelated to why we're here.
Actually, it's not.
It's workforce development.
Yeah, and we are exceptionally proud in Kenosha in a number of places about our music and theater programs.
Yeah.
And I've always found it to be incredibly odd. I actually screamed at the mayor, to be brutally honest. And yes, I know we're still on tape. Because I don't understand how we produce so many, and yet home seems to be lagging behind in those areas, aside from what goes on inside of KUC. And so I just found that to be really strange and deeply troubling at the same time.
Kenosha has a reputation for fantastic arts and music parks. I met a bunch of them every day. I was the speaker at a Kiwanis luncheon where they gave all the music and academic awards out. It was 300 kids, you know, all over Kenosha in there. It is sort of, you know, I suppose part of the entire workforce. It's a small segment. I did meet today with the highest ranking board member of the Kenosha Symphony. And I said, he said, we're in trouble. We got 2 more years and we're done. And I said, well, come on, we're going to do a Skype session right now. And I'm going to get on this Skype with us, four of my friends, president of the National Symphony, the St. Louis Symphony, Minnesota Orchestra, and the Detroit Symphony. And we're going to sit down and we're going to have this moderated by Jim Underkoffer, who I hired Ivica, who's the former CEO of not only Philadelphia Orchestra, but he was the director of the Eastman School for 20 years. And we're going to talk about how to save this local orchestra. And you're going to, and you know, I have ideas about who you're going to hire, how you're going to have to do some fundraising. These people think so small. I mean, I'm not going to say that right here, especially since the front of the day. There are 3 or 4 people that if they got to know, well, a couple of lunches, not just somebody with the bank over tomorrow. So they need a plan, they need a marketing plan, they need a better place to perform, even though the high school is a great venue. You pay money to go to a concert, you don't feel like you should walk into a high school. Even though it's a great auditorium, it doesn't feel like it. So we're gonna save it. Not just that's crazy.
Count me in on that.
All right.
Anyone else have any other questions?
Supervisor Wright, you? I guess there's been a very much comeback in the last couple of decades. Were you involved in that at all, or?
Well, what do you mean by comeback?
Well, the downtown area and everywhere else.
Oh, India downtown. Yeah.
And all that did this very large comeback. Were you involved in any of that?
Well, you know, the Ithaca Commons was built a while ago. It was just being built when I was there. And that is, they turned a big section of downtown, like where your trolley would be, into a pedestrian mall. Have you been there?
No, but I've spoken with people out there. Right?
Yeah, and it's just lined with, you know, shops and restaurants and eateries. And it's funny, because Ithaca College on one hill sort of dominates the downtown area for the young people. Go downtown to shop and eat and entertain themselves. And Cornell entertains another area called College Town. And the downtown really worked hard to become an accessible place. They built on this pedestrian mall, there's 3 different stages. There's a center for a local union, a radio, a newspaper, a kind of a drop-in service organization area. And so they made that before I got there. But I will say that two of the most revenue generating enterprises in Ithaca, I led on a couple of times. So I was the artistic director twice at the Ithaca Festival, which is a 3-day summer festival of the arts. And it's just wall-to-wall people for, you know, 3 days. Every stage in the county is filled with bands. They have a huge like summer fest on the lake. It's very, very, they make a lot of money. But more importantly, this one is a little crazy, but they make a lot more money for a service in the town. Is there something in our little town of Trumansburg called the Grassroots Festival? And it's grown from me driving down a truck, a flatbed truck, which turns into a stage from the college, into a field, like a Woodstock kind of field, out in this little town of Trumansburg. And it was one day with 4 or 5 bands. It is now 300,000 people, 4 days of bands from 7 in the morning until 6:45 in the morning, you know, drum circles, vendors, and they give away close to $500,000 to local charities every year, and the entire area comes together. So I think those were important ways for me to be engaged. Ithaca's an interesting place. It's 10 square miles surrounded by reality at the bumper sticker there, and it's a very granola place. We have our own money, Ithaca Bucks, we have our own cars, there's cars all over you can just use. We had a socialist mayor for a while. It's a very hippie kind of dominated culture. And I say that, look, you know, Moosewood restaurants, if you've heard of Moosewood restaurants, they're the most highest selling vegetarian cookbooks in the world. You know, Moosewood is there.
How on earth did you choose here? And I say that because listening to you, I'm reminded about all the things that I've read about Ithaca.
Yeah.
I'm familiar with the Ithaca Bucks, actually looking at alternative.
Oh, you are? Yeah, it's a great system. These cars are fantastic. You just pay like literally, I think it's $25, $26 a month, and you have unlimited access to cars. You know where they're parked, and you just get a code. You go in and you use them. And a lot of my friends are like, one, why would I pay $450 a month for a car? Every $25, whenever I really need a car, I have one. But if it gets one of the greenest places on the planet, so we recycle everything. There's a compost heap the size of Kenosha, I think, outside of Kenosha.
So again, how did you pick Kenosha?
Well, I did because I was happy, I was doing what I wanted to do, and a headhunter called me and said, I'd worked with him before because I've been the chair of a search for a business team in our school, and he had run that search. And he said, Greg, I have no idea whether you ever want to be a college president, but I think you should be, and you could be, and if you're ever going to choose one, this is one you got to look at, because it's really special. And he knew my youngest child had just become a freshman in college, so I was kind of free to move then. So he worked it all, he worked it. And the more I looked at Carthage, the more I realized what a powerful and truly beautiful institution it is. Now, I believe what they do, I believe it's incredibly financially well run, it's solid. Students are growing and evolving and doing great things. The faculty are fantastic. They're nice people, and I came and visited, and, you know, there's a kind of a pretty body of water there. Of course, I look from my office, I look down at Cayuga Lake, which is the largest of the five finger lakes. It's the middle finger of the five finger lakes. And it's only 52 miles long, 2 miles wide, which doesn't compare with the ocean that we're next to. But, you know, we like lakes. So it just seemed like a really good fit. And look, this is personal, you don't care about this, but I'm 58. I could have been very happy just staying where I was doing, where I was doing until I was done working. But I thought, you know, at that age, you should pick yourself in the say, you know what, let's take on a challenge or something. So I just thought, you know, that's a good idea, and this is a great place to do it. Not a whole lot of fix at Carthage. It's all positive. It's all, where do you want to go from here? You know, the next 10 years, probably 3,000 small colleges in Grand will close. They'll go back home. And, going to one of those places is just going to be a downhill, depressing 10 years of trying to save, trying to scrimp, cutting it down. And that is not even, Carthage has an incredible future. And in fact, when some of this sad closings, some of these occur, we'll actually become even more powerful, stronger, because we will survive through a tough time. So it's been really fun. And my parents both were born and raised in Chicago. And I used to come drive her all the time, visit grandma and grandpa. And it's in some funny way, I was like, can I say coming home? Isn't that ridiculous? Because I never lived here. But that was my, get in the station wagon, going to Chicago. So it all just kind of fell into place the right way.
Motion by Supervisor Shaw. Second by Supervisor Kraft. All in favor?
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Congratulations, enjoy your 4 breakfasts a year.
I hear there's something.
Well, it's just donuts and coffee.
That's something.
If you want to have a meeting up on the campus sometime, we can do that. We can serve a nice breakfast. I'm very honored to be part of this, and I think it'll be a lot of fun. I'm sure there's a lot of great things that you know of that I don't know that we can do together. That'll be fantastic. So thanks very much.
Thank you for the family oats.
My husband graduated from Carthage.
Oh,
his
really?
Family was from Dallas. Nice. And they gave up like in Chicago.
So he was in Chicago when he went to Carthage?
Mm-hmm.
We don't have much of it. Carthage isn't really known on that, so we're going to have to push a little bit farther.
Yeah.
Carthage isn't known sometimes in our own backyard.
Mm-hmm.
We have these interns that we send out, but we don't come in Ed Smith, but Ed Smith was our fortune for the last 15 years. Not now. This is Deborah Wall, jockeys are. Ed was the head of HR and also operations in Australia for Kraft Foods. And he donates money to some kids who have internships. He pays them a salary because the internships are free, so he wants them to do it and they'll lose their earning power over the summer, so they can afford to do them and someone supports them. So he pays for about 21 summer internships. And they do a day where they present all their work and then their mentors come. And so they're all in this room and they're presenting. The kids are amazing and these mentors are here, chemists from Abbott and Baxter and people and so on and so on. There's one woman who ran some NGO in like Lake Forest or something. you know, and she was sitting there and she said, I can't believe the quality of these students and how, what they're, I've never even heard of Carthage before. And I was like, you're like 30 miles away. So we're gonna big, you know, rebranding and marketing communication initiative. And it'll have an Elsher written all over it, so that'll be a good one. All right, go home, have dinner. Play golf.
Actually, no other business is authorized by law. Committee member comments?
Just wanted to kind of hear you.
All right.
I don't remember memorized, so if you need
Thursday, 6:20, 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. Northside Library, meet and greet award / KRW Tri-County Tobacco Free Coalition. Okay. Anybody? Second by Supervisor Johnson, all in favor.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thank you.
Thanks for coming in.
I know it's nice for being here. Oh, no problem. Thank you for coming in.
I did meet with a guy this morning who was the head of Kenosha Fishing
NGO.
Kenosha Fishing.
The charter fishing people? No, it's an NGO. They supply